Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning our gospel reading is about prayer and how prayer should never cease among the disciples and the children of God. It would seem that a gospel such as this, preached in a chapel such as this, would be preaching to the choir. Nevertheless, it is always good to hear the word of the Lord and be encouraged by Him. And this indeed is a gospel and word of encouragement that comes to us. We're going to talk about praying unceasingly. As we look to this parable, Luke introduces it and tells us it's how disciples should always pray. And then it talks about the characters of the parable. First, you have an unrighteous judge, one who's a pagan, a non-Christian, doesn't fear God, thinks pretty much of himself, and he has indeed has a position where he has great power, great prestige. And as we know, judges can almost decide anything they want, even change the Constitution. And so we have this unrighteous, uncaring judge. Not only does he not fear God, but he really doesn't care about people at all either. And then we have, in great contrast, especially in the culture of that time, a widow. There was no social security. There was no easy means of support for those who have lost their husbands and their fathers and their families. They were indeed indicative of the very helpless in that time. And yet she is a stubborn person, a persistent person, and she has a cause which she wants to bring before the judge. And so Luke goes on and tells us that Jesus explained that this woman consistently and persevered in her antagonizing the judge, going after him and seeking justice, that she would be vindicated over against those who had done her wrong. And the judge ponders to himself, it is told us, that I don't care what God thinks. I don't have to answer to him. I even care less about people. However, if I don't do something with this widow, she is going to haunt me. She is going to bother me. And as a matter of fact, as one translation says, she's going to give me a black eye. Possibly not literally, but in a way that would ruin his reputation. Although it doesn't sound like he would have a good one if he's this kind of unrighteous person. Nevertheless, he is molded out of self-interest, as the world would behold him, to vindicate this woman and give her justice. He says, "But will not the Lord hear?" This unrighteous man judge says, "But will not God vindicate this the elect who are electing him to day, crying to him day and night?" God is not the unrighteous judge, but there is a certain amount of character we can learn about God from this parable. Certainly God is righteous and holy, totally different from the judge here. But he is somewhat similar in this, that even God is concerned about his reputation. God has given his word. God has given his promise. God has demonstrated his mercy and his compassion. When God's anger was kindled against Israel, and he wanted to destroy them after bringing them out of Egypt. Moses appealed to God. "God, what would people think? You bring us out here and you slay us out here? What would people say about you?" And so God's wrath was set aside, and Israel was preserved. So we know something about the character of God. But now we are past the time of Moses, and we are past the time where God has demonstrated his love, has reassured us of his promise, and here we even have Christ here now encouraging us to pray. He's not commanding them to pray, but he's encouraging to pray and offering a promise. Pray, pray without stopping, pray without ceasing. And certainly now that we live in the light of the death and resurrection of Christ, we know that God in earnest loves us and has put away our sin and welcomes us in conversation with him. Certainly he wants us to pray. He wants us to pray in our homes, but certainly he wants us to pray here where it becomes a two-way communication, where we can hear the word of God and receive his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, where we can partake in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, where we can have that fellowship, and where we are assured that he meets us here to hear our prayer as well. But then is the final encouragement. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he even find the faith? Will he find faith on earth? Will there be any faith left?" Indeed, a strange saying. But as the word is proclaimed, it is to create faith and create motivation towards good works. And when I read this, in my heart welled up this answer of, yes, yes, I will be there. I will persist in my faith. And I hope as you hear this word proclaimed to you, that your sins are forgiven and God welcomes you in your prayers, and that you should pray. And if your prayers are not answered immediately, consistently persist in your prayers, learning the will of God for your lives, and he will answer. And this question, will there be faith found? I hope you answer yes, because I'm going to persist in the prayers, because God has promised to hear. He has promised to forgive, and he's promised to come again, that I may live with him in glory forever. In our collect today, as many times the collect does, it points us to the gospel. We have indeed already prayed that we be steadfast in our prayer as the Holy Spirit will enable us. May this be true among us all. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.